Hi, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Steven, and we are public health students from Virginia Tech advocating for healthy living through the built environment. When most people think about the environment and environmental health, they think about climate change, about protecting the environment. What people often forget about is that the environment that we live in each and every day has just as much of an impact on our health as those natural components do. The built environment is just that, the environment that we have built around ourselves and our societies. A built environment is comprised of man-made components, with a wide range of structures such as schools, hospitals, communities, parks, as well as roads, green space, and transportation systems. The development of built environment incorporates individuals from many fields, including architecture, urban planning, government, engineering, conservation, and health-related occupations. Encompassing all of these different people and fields of study, built environment has one major goal: to improve the health and lifestyle of individuals in this area.
Considering the built environment is critical in ensuring a positive public health system, many public health and planning professionals have begun working together to understand the impact of alternative transportation methods in urban areas. That is, the ability to travel to work, school, and other places without the need for a personal car. It can include bus systems, bike lanes, sidewalks, trains, and more. Dorina Pujani, an urban transport, urban design, and housing expert working in academia, had this to say about working on transportation systems in countries outside of the U.S.
They've gone backwards because a lot of these countries, they had very good public transport systems during socialism. And if they didn't have good public transport systems, like Moscow had really good metro system already, China didn't, but it's building it now. And a lot of Eastern Europe, they have quite good public transport systems. But even if they didn't have that, they had good bicycle networks because they didn't have many cars, so people just used bicycles quite a lot. And then once socialism ended, which kept car ownership under control, either through direct regulation or through pricing, so salaries were kept so low that someone can afford a car, even if the car was available for sale. So once all those restrictions were lifted and people moved up economically where they could afford cars, so then everyone wanted one. So then those places too, they're finding themselves flooded with cars now. And some of them are starting to take baby steps to reverse that situation. But my own research has shown that in these countries, car ownership still has such a strong symbolism attached to it. People still haven't gotten it out of their system. You know, they're still in that stage where they want to have cars. That's still sort of the new shiny thing to have. So I don't know if they're already at the point where they're disillusioned with the car age and they want to change things.
It's important to understand that most public efforts to improve the transportation aspect of the built environment have only begun relatively recently, with some of the more prominent projects beginning in just the last few years. There is a clear impetus for change, and that change is underway, but it has a long way to go.
Transportation is more than just an economic issue. It's a public health issue. Extensive individual car use increases emissions and air pollution in urban areas, leading to respiratory diseases and more. In addition, having a safe infrastructure for outdoor activities such as running, walking, and biking has been shown to have cardiovascular benefits. Studies have shown physical exercise have lowered rates of obesity in areas by reducing sedentary lifestyles that many live. While these are commonly understood health concerns, there are many that are not as easily understood.
While it is easy to see how an improved transportation infrastructure can affect your physical health, many people don't expect the built environment to have a mental health component as well. Dorina Pujani also had this to say.
How about the mental health benefits of sustainable, livable cities? And I say this because I have this architecture, urban design background. I have almost a physical reaction to ugliness. If I'm going around, you know, dreary kind of spaces with a lot of concrete, with no green, with a lot of cars, I just feel this sort of existential dread.
Not only do these spaces give us an area for exercise, these green spaces can also have an important calming effect and can improve our mental health. A study published in 2015 concluded that built environments have a direct and indirect effect on mental health. Individuals who had good accessibility to public transport and urban structure had a decreased risk of depression, especially in women and the elderly, because of an increased ability to move around and have active social lives.
The built environment doesn't just affect physical and mental health, but can involve many other aspects and sectors as well. Meera Shekhar from the World Bank had this to say about nutritional programs and education that they are currently working on, and how they are linked to success and economic growth.
We are right now working on and what we in Bankese call an analytical piece, similar to the other documents you've seen, on obesity. And we're working quite closely with our transport colleagues to address some of the issues around urban planning and built environment and the like. So it's good to know that there are people out there who see the interactions between these two worlds. In terms of what we think countries should be doing before, well, let me put it slightly differently. I think the case we make is that if you invest in nutrition, you will have benefits for education, because early nutrition helps to build stronger brains, and cognitive development is closely linked to early nutrition. You will help to have more productive adults, not just in terms of cognitive performance, but also physical work capacity. And there's a fair amount of evidence out there that in terms of growing.
Nutrition is a huge piece of built environment, health, and success. Like Meera Shekhar said, benefits of education and nutrition build stronger brains and bodies, which result in productive adults later. It's important for the built environment to include programs and structures that target children, to encourage them to be active and healthy, to foster a successful, healthy, and growing population. We interviewed Kathleen Kurtz, an expert in nutrition, earlier this semester. She said this on childhood nutrition.
We know a lot about the first, we used to focus on the first 5 years. Now we actually would love just focusing on the first 2 years. I mean, of course, all of the health indicators are set up for children in the first 5 years. So we do the first 5 years. And then we always say with an emphasis on the first 2 years. So that's when the growth spurt happens. If you look at, we use a growth chart that's the same that's in pediatrician's offices. And you want to be as close to the 50th percentile as possible. And our kids are often a little heavier than that. That's not so great. But the kids in developing countries often, we call it falling off of that growth curve. So by the, maybe by 18 months, even 12 months, they're like down at around the fifth percentile. So they're too thin and they're too short. So that's stunting, wasting and stunting. Stunting is the biggest issue. You mentioned in the notes that, you know, many countries have like 40% of kids are not growing in height well enough. They look normal unless they're really thin, but everything's been slowed down. And I always say nutritionists don't really care about the actual size. We don't care if people are short or tall. We care that that's an indicator that mental development and cognitive development and other physical development, that's all slowed down. So less productivity, less time in, it actually correlates to adult productivity and how well kids do in school. So everything is just sort of, that shortness is a symbol.
Multiple interviewees touched on how important transportation, education, and nutrition are in fostering a healthy city. Built environment incorporates all of these aspects and continually strives to create a healthy community through structures such as schools, hospitals, community parks, roads, green space, and transportation systems.
In the development of cities across the world, developers should work with public health professionals to understand how their infrastructure can impact the health and well-being of all residents, for the benefit of all, and for the health of future generations.